Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Men's Book Club only. We will be back with books.
Terminator.
Yes.
Was that him?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm great with my
Never board. Never saw it.
Ah, wow. Okay. So today, we're going to do it's a quick one, Matt. I got to tell you.
Quickie.
This is a quick one. This is what you would read if you had like 4 hours to kill. That's what this book
is. It's a bathroom read.
It's... Maybe a couple of days if it's a bathroom read. But it's a Mitch Albom book, which they're always small. They're always quick, but they're kind of good. The Stranger in the Lifeboat. This is, I don't remember actually when he did. I always like to talk. 2021.
Oh, so this is very recent.
Very recent. There's actually a book that he came out with after this,
oh,
too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, this is Mitch Albom's book. It's kind of in theme with everything that he does, where there's like a spiritual and a holy figure, but at the same time there isn't. There is a heaven, but they're all at the same time there isn't. It kind of leaves a lot of things to your interpretation.
Is he a religious guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Well, I would hope so after all these books about God and heaven. So this book is basically about these strangers that end up on a lifeboat. That's it. Thank you, folks.
Now, right, a minute in. We're done. It's a record.
A massive boat, which they compare to like the Titanic, ends up crashing. And on it are some of the wealthiest and richest and most famous people. And the boat ends up crashing for whatever reason.
What's really funny about the... Well, not funny, but... Recently, that submarine.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that.
So when I read that, I was like, and it's very rich people.
Yep.
So yep. I mean, this one was more of a luxury lot. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos would be on.
But
like
I did that. Think about my first thing. Yeah. Was yeah. Like, same. Oh, okay.
The submarine. Yeah.
So pretty timely.
So the boat crashes, the ship crashes, the yacht crashes, and they end up, these strangers end up getting a lifeboat, and they're all on the lifeboat, kind of drifting in the middle of the ocean. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. There are different characters within it. But the main character, the protagonist, Benji, is basically spending the entire time writing to his ex-wife, Annabelle, and in his notebook as a diary. And basically, the way that this book is structured is that this diary is found by a detective, LaFleur, who basically is working as a cop in a random island somewhere. And this lifeboat ends up there. And the only thing that's on the lifeboat is that notebook.
And he took it.
And he basically takes it and is reading it. And it's entries, by Benji to Annabelle explaining what's happening on the boat. There are multiple people on this boat. There are, you know, like a swimmer. There's the owner of the yacht himself.
Real dick.
But the interesting character in all of this is that this guy that they pull ashore is claiming that if everybody on the boat believes that he is God, he will save them. And he needs everybody to believe him. Of course, they do randomly throughout, but not everybody does at the same time. There's no unanimous agreement to it. And one by one, the people on the lifeboat kind of die in different ways. One of them gets eaten by a shark. One of them falls off the boat and drowns. One of them from illness. One of them one of them drinks water, right, and ends up kind of getting poisoned, basically, because he's drinking ocean water. People are basically dying for a bunch of different reasons. I think initially there were like 8 people on the boat or something like that. And they kind of die one by one, and Benji is one of the last ones remaining. And the character that is supposed to be God actually ends up, quote-unquote, dying. And we find out at the very end that it actually wasn't the guy that was God. It was another little girl that was on the boat, and she was using that guy as basically to talk through him. But it was the little girl, and you kind of don't see that coming, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, you definitely don't see that coming.
Yeah. And we don't know what happens to the people on the boat, but we do know that this main guy, Benji, is actually the one responsible for the yacht crashing. He makes up this whole story about like how his friend is the one who did it, but it actually ended up being him.
But I thought he did end it.
The detective is basically he's learning little by little as the story's being read, but he's also talking to this other guy that found the boat, and he's also talking to this other guy who was his friend, who Benji in the diary says is the reason that the boat crashed. And basically, you're kind of reading this whole book thinking two things, which neither one of ends up being true. One is that Benji's friend is the reason that the boat, the yacht, crashed and exploded and drowned, fell under a sea. And the second one is that there is this guy on the lifeboat while Benji's writing that is God. And we end up finding out at the very, very end that neither one of those things are true.
Well, I guess God was on there. Well,
but it was a girl.
But it was a girl. It was a little tiny girl.
It was a little tiny girl. And I don't remember the exact like last scene of the book, but there was a lot of like ambiguity into like what happened to Benji himself.
I think he's alive.
Yeah.
He's definitely alive.
Yeah, but you kinda don't know. Right? Like you have it kind of leaves it up to interpretation, which I think is like classic Mitch Albom way of doing this. He's kind of like, was it God? Did that guy get saved? Like, you know, he's kind of like, you know, it's very strange. But this guy, Benji, is writing things in his diary that are not true. And his friend is basically telling the detective who found the diary what's going on, right? Like, that's kind of how we're finding things out. Like, so we're piecing together the Benji diary with what the detective is finding out with what... Oh, this is another interesting piece. Throughout the book, every few pages, we're getting like a news reporter kind of giving us a little bit more details about each person. So you're kind of trying to piece all of it together, and you're like looking for clues. And it's really not about why the boat crashed and why these people died. And it really isn't about all of that. It's about, do you put your faith in God and what happened to these people? Because the lifeboat ended up landing on shore.
I find that pretty, I'm not religious, but I find that pretty interesting because and I know you listen to him too sometimes, Rogan, and he talks about like, oh, I would believe in God if he said, said something. And I'm kind of like that too.
Yeah.
And in this book, God's pretty much like, believe in me. And people are like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's kind of like...
Which makes sense.
Even if it slaps you in the face, you're like, oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, no, because you're like, you're not... You wouldn't even be able to comprehend it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. Because the way that God's built up is like, he knows everything from past, future. Like, there's no way a human can even...
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't believe that person. You would think they're crazy. Like,
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, you're going to save me? Then why am I here?
Yeah. But also, like, the God, quote unquote, puts it in a very good perspective in the beginning when he gets on the boat, which is like, you know, they keep asking him, like, why did you let all those people die? Why did you let that person die? And he's basically saying back to them, like, I'm under no obligation to, like, do what you think is right. Like, that's not how you prove I'm God. I don't have to prove that I'm God by you seeing me do something that you want
me
to do. The only
weird thing is that if you're on a lifeboat and you're like, okay, I don't think I can be saved, maybe if you didn't even believe, try to believe, because then you'll be saved. Like, there's only 8 of them.
Right.
Like, there, you know what I mean? It's not like you have to convince a million people.
Right.
You're convincing 8. If then you're saved and nobody did it.
Right.
And then they just kind of...
Yeah.
Or maybe God wasn't on there at all and he's making it all up.
Well,
but
we find out that the guy that has been helping he's the guy that found, quote-unquote, the ship was actually Benji. And he survived all of it. And he kind of using his pseudonym, like Rom or something like that. And he's basically pointing the detective in the way of where, you know, to find the ship, where to find the diary, where all that stuff. But he's pretending he's not Benji. And at the end, the detective finds out that it is him. And he's basically asking him, how did you survive? And he's like, well, God was there with me. And it's kind of fascinating because, like, you know.
Well, technically, he could have been not there. But
yeah,
in
exactly.
Like, in exactly. You, like,
Yeah. He didn't have to physically be there. That's what's so great about the book. It's like, it's ambiguous. It's like, we know that not everything that was written in that diary was true because he lied in the diary. And we know that that's true.
Yeah, he's not even that reliable. Like,
right. So we don't know if there was actually anybody else on that ship, on that boat. We don't know anything about any of them. We have no proof that anybody that was on that boat.
Plus, under those conditions, like, if you're out, you know, you ever see those stories? Like, if you're really out there, like, you're in the sun.
Yeah,
you're not drinking.
So exactly. So you can, if you're not religious, you can look at this and say, he was by himself on a boat. He's crazy. He's never saw God. And if you're religious, you can say, well, if God is asking for everybody on that boat to believe him, then when everybody else died and the only person that was left was Benji, then only Benji needed to believe in him.
Mm.
And that was one person, and that's how he survived. So you can look at it two different ways. And again, that's sort of the beauty of, like, he's done this before. I mean, I know we did, like, the five people you meet in heaven, which is very, again, it's very ambiguous, where you could not believe in God and look at that book as proof. Or you can believe in God and look at that book as proof. So it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, to me, I'm never like, I think they're good books. I just can't get, I'm not that religious. So,
right. So what's your rating on this old bad boy?
I think it's a good book, but I think I would give it like a 3 because I'm not that religious.
Okay. I think I'm at 3 also for this. I think he's written, I would say the five people you meet in heaven was better than this one. It's a little bit more, it's a little bit less God-ish and a little bit more like spiritual and heaven.
Yeah, that I can believe. Yeah, it's like also more in detail. Mm-hmm. Five.
Right.
People, it's I think it's actually almost a better premise of like you met those people randomly
right.
at some
right.
point.
And you ended up, they ended up changing your life.
Which is kind of like, I don't know if you ever, Lost kind of did that too, where you're like, oh, those are the most important people.
Yeah.
The people that were on the plane.
Right, exactly.
So it was kind of like that.
Yeah, the five people you meet in heaven was more about individual stories and less about the heaven part.
This wasn't like over the top, but
it was good. I think 3 is a good one. This is a very, very quick book to read. I mean, I don't know, like 200 pages.
I read it in the shower.
That's why this is wet. Fucking ass. Don't let him borrow your books.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This is 270 pages, but I'm serious. You could finish this in a day.
Yeah, it was a book I read in like, I don't know, 2 days.
Yeah, it's very quick.
It's a two-day read.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. This was Mitch Albom's The Stranger in the Lifeboat. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you later.